Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. Today is Friday, May 6, 2016, and I am joined here today, as always, by our Gamer of the Year, Pete Han.
Hello everyone, how you doing?
And we are ready to do another podcast. We've had a lot going on, as always.
It's been super busy. it's been ridiculous.
Astonishingly busy.
Yeah. At least behind the scenes. Yesterday was a slow day at the arcade, from what I gather.
Yeah, it was...
it's too nice out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's been... I don't think it's the weather. I think it's just been the... There's been so many people coming. I think we were due for a slow day.
Yeah.
It was the...
I think we burned out all the regulars, too.
The regulars were all here.
Were they? Oh, okay.
Matt Walters and Fred DeHart.
That's right.
It was... a fun day, for cool. Sure. But anyway, I think we need to jump into things today. Let's start off with the most obvious thing.
Yes.
Sega Week. It was proclaimed early on that the tournament was going to win.
Yep.
And I think it went really well.
You think the tournament won?
I do. I genuinely think that the tournament came out, beat everybody up, and then came back for more.
It did. There was a Sega Week's Revenge event afterward, too, and we'll talk about that. But we had a really good run for top place. First and second place was really close. And the final result was Mazi Sagopian is our new Sultan of Sega.
Yes.
So congratulations to Mazi's. It's a very good win for him. There was some really good competition, and I think this is going to be, I don't know, this is a good performance on his part, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And shout out to Peter Gores for putting up a great fight. He was there all the way to the end.
Yes. It was definitely really good. It started on Monday.
Monday the 25th of April, yep.
And the event, I know Fred DeHart, former 2014 Gamer of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Was here, ready to go, right at 1 o'clock. So, we had really gone all out for this tournament. We had looking on Facebook, everybody was kind of expecting one and two new games.
There was a speculation posts going on. That was kind of cool. I like that.
They were. It was interesting. You could see people were practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine there was some at-home maiming going on.
I'm sure. I would have.
but it seemed like everybody was practicing all the Sega games.
Yep.
And we were pretty happy to be able to pull out the knockout punch of...
All new games.
10 new games.
Yep.
Arabian Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Axe the Duel. Fist of the North Star. Super Zaxxon. Astro Blaster. Wonder Boy,
Columns,
Block Seed, I'm missing one there, Fantasy Zone, and Galaxy Force 2.
Yep.
We had actually hoped to have one more game out for Sega Week. We were going to throw that in, but...
Didn't happen?
Didn't happen. Okay. Didn't happen.
But is it going to be a Monday Mystery game possibly then?
Possibly.
Okay.
We were scrambling around, and now we have two really cool Sega games waiting in the wings to put up, so...
Okay.
Anxious for those. But yeah, so we had added 10 games to the arcade floor.
It was cool. We did like a stream right at open, showed everyone what the games were.
Yes.
People were like, you guys are all crazy, but that's a good thing.
It was, huge thanks to you and John Haruza for making that stream happen.
Sure.
Because we were dragging our internet connection all over the place. Mm. And our audio was going in and out. And thank you so much for pulling that all together and making that work.
Sure. Yeah, it was awesome just to show everything off right away to people that couldn't be out right away.
Yeah.
But it was pretty overwhelming, like getting that many new games up right away.
Yeah.
You looked you didn't look overwhelmed, you just looked like it was, you were busy the whole time leading up to the tournament.
It was a very, very long week.
Yeah.
It was right around 100 hours.
That's a pretty long week.
That's, yeah. we were trying to pick the cabinets, and me and Seth were getting monitors working, and just getting all the settings right, and I had a lot of marquees to recreate and artwork to do, and it was fun. It was definitely a lot of fun. Hopefully, and
I hope all the players enjoyed it.
I really hope.
I think they did.
I think they did. I think there was a lot of. I think some people weren't expecting the games that were there, and I think it was a good mix.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, I could see how someone could make the argument that we had two fighting games, but that's fine. I mean, we didn't have any. We haven't had any fighting games for mystery games, so we've been light on fighting games in general. So I think this was a good balance to that.
Absolutely, and two puzzle games.
Yeah.
I think it kind of made it a very balanced playing field.
It was, yeah.
And the funny thing was that even though we had a couple people say, like, oh, it's, I don't know about some of those games, all of them are still being played after Sega Week.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of people on Blockseed and Columns. And
I've seen, yeah. People are selling Golden Axe the Duel. People are selling Fist of the North Star.
Fantasy Zone.
Yeah.
Wonder Boy.
Yeah, that's true.
I know we can't take Jamie Tibbetts off of Arabian Fight.
Really?
But no.
Does he not like it? I didn't
know
that.
No, it's the consensus was that was a little bit clunky of a fighter.
Okay.
But yeah, I think everybody seemed to like the lineup.
Yep. It is unfortunate. If you were there, you already know this, but Galaxy Force 2
and Astro Blaster
did not make it. They were casualties. The tournament won against them too.
Yeah, those were the two. Galaxy Force 2 was a personal disappointment. Doug Fox and our very own Seth Young had been working so hard on that, and.
Had it running perfectly.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. What an incredible machine. And to have it go down right at the start.
In spectacular fashion, nearly giving James White a heart attack.
It was, there was some electricity being tossed around.
Yeah. Smelled like smoke.
One of the motor, the PCBs on the motor, one of the big caps exploded.
Like one of the caps that looks like one of the like an actual Coke can, like one of those big size ones. Yeah,
not that big, but it was big. That blew up, and I was talking with Doug. Doug was saying the part number that we need, and he was talking about how he came out that night to grab the board.
That's awesome.
And he's like, "We got to get this back in," and there was a transistor that he said he spent 2 hours looking for through all his parts warehouses and stuff. Nobody had it.
Oh, no.
Said he contacted one of his friends from Sega, said that they were next to impossible to get 15 years ago, and he was on the verge of saying that that was it.
That's not good.
No. But fortunately, while I'm on the phone with him, I started searching for it. We found the part. So we ordered, we needed 4. We ordered 10. So Galaxy Force should be running possibly as early as tomorrow.
Cool.
So it will move again.
Just waiting on the parts for now?
Yes. Okay. Well, no, the parts are here. Doug has them. He's working on it.
Okay.
So it'll be any time, and we can't wait to have that moving again.
Yep.
Leading up to Sega Week, me and you had a little bit of a treachery that we planned out.
We were playing a shell game with all the regulars.
Yeah, there's so much preparation, and people are so into trying to figure out what we're doing. We're really having to push ourselves to have some misdirection so that we're able to pull the stuff off.
I think Houdini said that was one of the greatest magic tricks are based on misdirection.
Absolutely. That's Houdini comes here 3 times a week
and
gives us pointers on what to do.
Yep.
But I remember we were up at the counter and I'm like, Pete, we should do a fake games list. And 5 minutes later, you have a fake games list.
Printed out. The type font was a little big. Like, I would, if I didn't want people to see it, it would have been a little bit smaller, but
right.
It was about 25-point font.
But the fact that we were working, I think it was a Monday that slipped out.
Yeah.
And all the regulars were there.
It was the Monday before.
The Monday before. So yeah. Top Hunter had released.
Yeah.
And I from what I hear, it went over. People thought it was the real list.
Mm-hmm.
I took it, and I folded it up and
put it in the trash.
Put it in the trash.
Yep.
Face up in the recycling bin, and everyone kind of. Was loitering around there for a bit, and who knows what people thought they saw.
Mm-hmm. Jamie said he did see it. He said he only saw one game, and he's like, man, I saw this game. I'm going to tell you what I saw so you can take it off. And he said my acting sold it, because he didn't think the list was... like he thought the list was kind of fishy, but he's like, your acting sold me. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know I had that in me to be tricky like that, but...
It's probably from all the extra energy of Gamer of the Year.
Yeah.
The performance.
There you go. So Jamie basically said, yeah, my acting sold it. I believe the list was real.
Awesome.
But then he told me what he saw, and I'm like, well, we'll probably remove that off the tournament then.
Little did he know.
Yes.
We try to keep some stuff out in plain sight. We tell him, we show him a list. And we tell them that the tournament's going to win, and they keep practicing. They don't listen to us.
It's all right.
10 new games.
Yeah.
And then on the next Monday.
Yep, we had a Sega Week Revenge tournament.
Yes, it was from out of nowhere. Right after our Monday mystery game announcement, we did the Sega's Revenge tournament, which was...
those games on the list. Yep.
And we were walking around telling everybody, like, we gave you the list.
Yeah.
Nobody listens. But definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And who won that one?
Peter Gores ended up winning that. The mystery event for the week and the Sega Revenge tournament. So he earned himself 2 trophies that week.
Wow.
Last week. Which... incidentally, puts him in the lead now.
How many wins does he have?
That's going to be 7 trophies for him. So he's past Tibbetts at 6.
6.
Yeah.
And then next closest is James.
James has 4 or 5, I want to say. It's still close.
Still anybody's game.
It still is, yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yep.
That belt, the 10X championship belt.
Very still coveted.
Yes. Congrats to him for a tremendous week.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, he had a great week, great start to the tournament. He was our leader the first day of the event. And then he won the mystery tournament and the revenge tournament.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Yep.
And then the Monday mystery game, I guess we can
talk about that
real quick too. Silent Hill the arcade game.
It's a pretty big game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was slightly larger than Castlevania.
Yeah, it's definitely taller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really cool. The guns on it, light gun game, just guns on it are...
they're pretty realistic.
Yeah. It
took me for a loop. I'm like, if someone pointed this at me, I might be scared if I didn't look closely.
Those guns, they have a nice weight to them, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they just feel nice.
Yeah.
Like, what a cool cabinet. It arrived from Japan... and we had no place to put it but on the floor. And we didn't even mention it.
Hidden in plain sight.
Mm-hmm. We actually ended up wrapping... we were getting it ready that morning. And it arrived damaged.
Oh.
So
you told me.
The actual screen for it was all smashed in. But fortunately, we had a spare rear projection screen in storage. So Seth had a bunch of others. We tried the first one, and we ended up cutting a screen up, and it almost worked, but didn't. So fortunately, Seth had a couple other screens on hand and was able to get that running very nicely, and cool. Huge shout-outs to him for that.
Yeah.
But, again, the misdirection. We had the covered game up at the front.
Yeah. Strike Harbinger was covered.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that is, we'll cover that later. Yes. That was part of the Sega Week festivities at the end of Sega Week.
Yes.
But that was covered instead of our mystery game.
Yeah. And I think they really only got it when even the stream cart was back there when we were setting up.
Yep.
Nobody really took notice or thought much about it until...
Until around... became 5 o'clock.
Until right at 5 o'clock.
Yep.
So... We'll have to see if these players step their game up to try to figure out what we're doing.
I don't think they... We keep our cards pretty close. I think they know now that just wait until we release the games and then start playing them.
Right.
That's the best way to do it. I was thinking maybe the next event we just say mystery manufacturer event, so we don't give people even they don't even know what manufacturer they're coming from.
We might have to do that. I'm already thinking about T20. I don't want to get everybody over amped up for 20 new games to come out.
Yeah.
So I think we need to scale back a little bit.
Well, there's no tournaments this month. Unless you're going to Retrocade, there's a tournament going on right now.
Yeah.
It's the May the 4th Star Wars event. Shout-outs to Retrocade.
Yep. Scott Lambert running a great arcade out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sega Week 2016.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. We had on that Saturday, we had Martin Alessi.
He's from Little Player.
From Little Player. Huge shout-outs to them. And them and Barry from Segabits were here. And they co-ran a Sonic Championship Kids Scoring Guild fighting tournament.
And that was like a versus tournament? I wasn't there for that. I missed that part. Oh, okay, so it was a one-on-one thing?
Yep.
Cool.
And I think there's 7 or 8 participants, and I forget the name of the girl that won. But everybody was under 15, and it was a lot of fun. It was Eddie and Martin, Perez that works here, mm-hmm. is a great commentator. Was really impressed with his commentary.
Yep.
And Martin did a great job. And the winners got free copies of Little Player and some day passes and T-shirts. And
cool.
Seemed like a lot of fun. And I, from what Martin said, they're going to be covering it... in the next issue of Little Player.
Cool.
So, another big element of Sega Week was we were fortunate enough to have Chris Tang out.
Yeah. That was awesome. Having him out.
I know. He came out a while ago for our first Developers Day.
Yes.
With Brian Colan and Jeff Lee and Sam Russo were here.
We had a lot to talk about because he did a lot of stuff for Primal Rage 2. Like, he was the Primal Rage 2 guy.
Yeah.
So...
And a lot of fun having him out. He started a new company called Hitspark Games.
Yes.
And they are working on a game called Strike Harbinger, which he had maybe 3 weeks notice that he was coming in for Sega Week. And they had been working on this game, but him and Kiyoshi Akuma, I believe is how he pronounces his last name, who shout outs to him as well. He came in, both from California.
Yes.
And they displayed their new game.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then we streamed it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect for Sega Week. It's very similar to game. It has paying tribute to games like Space Harrier and also unbeknownst to me until recently, but Quartet, another Sega game as well.
I never heard of that one.
No.
Mm-mm.
Very cool game. Very cool game. But visually, the game is just stunning. The artwork is amazing. And really can't wait to see it progress. We had done some cabinet art with them and had that printed up. And we had it playing in our Spook cabinet.
Yes. It looked pretty awesome in there, actually. I thought it looked good in there.
I have to agree. I think it fit well, and visually they liked working with it. They liked it, so we're going to be rolling ahead with the production on the Spook, uh, the collapsible cabinet. So
yep, yeah, that's, that was unveiled at MGC. If you didn't know what that is, it's a modular design cabinet. Yeah. Easy transport and setup.
Yeah,
but you can pretty much throw anything in it, right?
Yeah,
is there just an LCD version right now?
Currently, there's the LCD monitor version. Brandon, who had done some incredible work on the cabinet to upgrade it to how it collapses versus how it was originally supposed to be, redesigned the whole thing. He wants to get a CRT in there and do a CRT version as well. So he's going to be working on that pretty soon.
Cool.
So.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. But, all in all, like, it made Sega Week. Oh, and Chris also donated, I don't know if you saw that on stream as well, he donated...
The Primal Rage banner?
Primal Rage. He donated a Sonic & Knuckles banner and then this amazing Primal Rage banner.
Yeah.
Which we're going to be coming up on doing a rearranging of the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make sure that that goes right above Primal Rage 1 and 2.
Nice. That's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
Love the Rage section.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we just go and highlight the individual game winners then for Sega Week?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Cool. So we'll start with the... we'll go in order of the tournament. Arabian Fight. First place finish is Mazi Sagopian with 7,620. Who do we have next? We have Blockseed. Is it Blockster or Blockseed? How do you say it?
I think it's... Blockseed.
Blockseed, okay.
But who knows?
Who knows? Yeah,
I don't.
It's Sega. They call whatever they want. Peter Gores had the top score on Blockseed for the tournament, 185,195.
Very good.
Yep. And then up next is Columns, tournament high score of 141,470 by Mazzies.
It's a very good score.
It is, but you had a better score. After the tournament. Well, no, it was still during the tournament, but you currently hold the house high, which is 255,000, so you put all those tournament guys to shame, it looks like.
Yeah, I had spent a lot of time on Columns on the Genesis.
Okay.
And in the 94 Sega World Tour, mm-hmm. Me and my father actually came in second place.
Really?
In a Columns co-op.
That's awesome.
Tournament, so.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Columns.
Yeah.
And that's still just a starter score. A lot of room on that. A lot of room on
cool.
that.
Cool. I still have that on my Game Gear.
Great game.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we have Fantasy Zone, which we had to track scoring a little weirdly in this game.
Yeah.
Due to unable to adjust the dips. So what we did is we tracked what stage you got to and then how many coins you had. So whatever stage you got to was 100,000th digit of your score, and then we added the coins to that digit. So if you made it to the last level, which is stage 8, you get 800,000, then just add your coins to it. So Peter Gores came out on top with 1,024,200, so he made it to stage 8 and had a lot of coins.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We really hope... we want to get that set up for regular scoring. It is a standard official board, but there's something odd about it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure that out and make sure that it gets corrected. So
yeah, as long as we understand that when those scores are up, they're not going to really be comparable to the Sega Week scores.
Right.
But congrats to Peter Gores for winning that one.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And next we have Fist of the North Star.
A lot of people seem to like this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really awesome game. Mm-hmm. Done on the Atomus Wave, mm-hmm. Atomus Wave hardware.
Yep.
And our own Eddie Perez has that one with 2,991,800.
Cool. Nice job, Eddie.
Yep. Congrats. Then, in the short time that it was up, Galaxy Force 2, Peter Gores put up a very good 563,620.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not everybody got to play that one.
Yeah, I think only about 4 or 5 people were on that before it went down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next up, we have on Golden Axe the Duel, Mazzy's had a Sega Week high of 231,950. And I believe he said he got to the last boss on that score as well.
Yep.
So that's a really nice score for the tournament. After the tournament, Peter Gores has since beat that score by a bit. 243,400 he did on the 3rd of May. So right now I think they're both dying at the last guy, but Peter just scored a little bit better.
I think that one, it seems like a fairly easy fighting game.
Just to grasp
just
and get
to
into.
Get into, yeah. And there's, is if you're going for score, there seems to be a specific character that everybody uses. And
what is it? Who is it? No, I'm not going to go for that score.
You'll have it before the night's over.
Maybe.
It's all before perfecting the first few guys in the fight order. And
is the fight order random?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right, so yeah, Golden Axe Duel, a lot of people still playing that after the tournament. Gores, like, came in after the tournament, was still playing it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Super Zaxxon. I think Super Zaxxon, a lot of people were like, this game is so hard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And James White had the high for the tournament, 98,350, which is still the house high. No one's come close to beating that. I think the next closest is around, like, 78,000, 80,000, I want to say. So congrats to James for having the high on that. And next up, finally, the last game, Wonder Boy. Mozzie's won that game in the tournament, 356,370. And that score has since been beaten by Schmuppin's Fred DeHart, 406,410. He just beat that yesterday. So awesome. Fred currently has a house high on that. There is a massive world record on that game. I don't know if you saw it. It's like over a million.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot of people seem to really like that one, though.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that score will continue to go up and up and up. So some of the other scores that have been going on, with Jason Morris put up a new fast completion world record for Sonic Championship.
I think that was the day that Sega Bits was here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool. Yes. Okay.
5 minutes and 30 seconds and 20 hundredths of a second.
It's pretty exact.
Yes. Yeah.
At least the game tracks it for you. You don't have to measure it yourself.
Right, yeah. Right. Stopwatch. Then you have a new world record in 1cc with Fighter's History Dynamite.
I like to throw baked potatoes at my enemies.
Yes. That was... You do it very well. You got 650,300 points.
That score still has room to grow if anyone still wants to play that game.
Yeah, me and Jeremiah were kind of going back and forth. That's one, I don't know.
You guys haven't played it since. I'm a little disappointed.
It's not how... Jeremiah said he's going to keep playing.
That's good. I shared my tech. You guys all know how I did it.
Yeah, that's one... I don't know. I don't want to play like that.
It's like the third strike thing going on again?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And that would actually be... I don't know. We'll move on from that one.
Let me tell people how to get a higher score though. So when I beat the game, if you don't lose a round, there's a bonus round at the end where you fight an ox, like a huge ox.
Yes.
So I didn't get to fight the ox because I had lost rounds, even though I'd never lost matches. So if you fight the ox and you beat him, you're going to get more points than me. So beat the whole game and beat the ox, and you'll have more points than me.
Yeah. That's we'll see. Maybe Davin Lowe or
maybe
Norbert
can come out. Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Chris Tang put up a new Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting score.
Awesome score.
He's getting very close to the world record. You had this score, right?
Yeah, that was a house high I had held for a few years. I had 1,159,000, I want to say, and Chris Tang beat that by almost 100,000 points.
Wow.
So, incredible player at that game. I mean, he wins tournaments in that game, so...
Yeah.
he's great. And not much can be said other than that, like, he plays it near perfectly. And, you know, he doesn't really miss combos ever.
Right.
So, like, it's just a matter of getting... I think it's a matter of getting your perfects on the bonus rounds, getting perfects on Bison. I think that world record's in his reach. I think he could do it.
Are you going back after it?
Not immediately. I may.
You're just happy with the Fighter's History Dynamite belt?
For now. I mean, I may go back to it. I'm in no rush. The game's not going to go anywhere.
Is the Fighter's History Dynamite belt just a baked potato with a rope around it? And you don't want the illustrious Street Fighter belt?
I don't know. That's a good belt to have, too. It's a good game.
Yeah.
I do like... I very much... I'm still playing Fighter's History Dynamite. It's a fun game. I didn't know much about it going into it. I knew Fighter's History. I'd never played Dynamite, though.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And you had actually requested it. We actually got the board for the original on your request.
Yeah.
And it had a graphic error that we've never gone back to fix yet.
That's all right. And we can, if we put it out eventually, it'd be cool. Maybe a mystery game. But yeah. Everyone, if you didn't know, this game was so close to Capcom Street Fighter II that they were brought to court. Data East was brought to court about it. For all the similarities. I think they lost, though. Capcom lost.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
They were saying that they couldn't copyright like the styles, like Muay Thai,
yeah,
for Sagat and stuff.
Sagat and Samche both have the same style, but that's like me saying I have the same fighting style as another fighter of the same style. Like, you can't say that that's mine and unique.
And but it was very, very similar.
It was.
Costumes and...
Yeah, Mizoguchi was pretty close to Ryu in his costume.
Yeah.
Rei is kind of close to Ken with his blonde hair.
It was,
when he throws baked potatoes instead.
instead of fireballs. Those little subtleties that you've changed just enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely an interesting...
I played that a lot as a kid, actually.
Yeah.
I remember playing... I think I played that at Town and Country Mall. They had a... an arcade there by the movie theater in Arlington Heights. If you remember that, then you're old like me.
I'm older than you.
Maybe. Maybe. That's what you say. All right.
Next, as far as scores, we got Matt Walters, who I could not take my eyes off of watching him play this last night.
He
put up a new... score in Don Patchy.
The Don.
He is the Don. Watching him play that, put up 15,911,390.
Yeah, I saw the screenshot. He got to the third stage of the second loop.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
He, wow.
Just, second loop looks insane. I saw Fred play the second loop. It's nuts.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The ships all have suicide bullets. Like, after you kill them, they...
You gotta move, yeah.
You gotta, yeah. It's incredible. Like, huge congratulations to Walters for that. He was looking to just break his old score. He was wanted to get 15 million, and he did it like his second game.
That's awesome.
And it was.
That's the way it happens. Like, you come in, you're fresh, you have a good game. And then I know there's a lot of players vying for that title, the Don. I know Fred and Jamie are vying for that title as well. So we'll see if they can step up.
It's definitely... It is one of the talks, one of the high-profile things going on at the arcade right now.
Yep. They recorded footage from last time they kind of all met up a couple weeks ago when we were at Midwest Gaming Classic. They met up the night before, and we had took the streaming equipment with us, but they had recorded it, and Jamie put it on his YouTube channel. So if you want to see the shmupping going on, you can see it on YouTube. And just before we recorded this podcast, James White put up a new house high in Puyan, beating Jamie Tibbetts' Monday Mystery score, 172,900 on Puyan.
That's...
With those bitey wolves.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Very cool game.
Yep.
We had actually skipped over a few of the other house highs. Jamie Tibbetts, back on 419, put up a new Missile Command with 42,215.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Jackson put up a new 1cc, a new house high on House of the Dead with 74,500.
That was impressive. He beat Josh Henderson's score on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
You have another world record at 1cc for Crime City with...
I love that game. It's so fun.
It didn't take you long to get through that.
No, it's kind of like... just figuring out what it is. It's just remembering. Getting the muscle memory down for a couple certain things that kill you every time, and then you're good. Like, it's kind of a short game. Like, if I were to play it now, I could, in a few games, I could probably beat it again.
Yeah.
Just to get it back.
Well, definitely congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Then on Tempest, new house high that was set on 427. Kevin Willis put up 480,930.
Wow.
And then on 425, Ryan Shillow taking back the Forgotten World score.
This is another good story. It's coveted.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, James White, Brian Schill have been just slugging it out on Forgotten Worlds.
I think that score's raised over 600,000 in the last year. It was around 6 million.
Yeah.
I want to say 6 months ago. And now they're at 6.6. Almost 6.7.
This was a big jump, though.
This was over 100,000 point jump.
The last few have just been a few thousands and 10,000.
I wonder what he did. I wonder if there's some secret tech involved.
Well, I think they have very different play styles.
Yeah.
One is more Zenny-based, one more score-based. And now we're starting to see the blend. And I know, I think there's a little more room on it.
Yeah, there is.
But it's definitely going to be who can adapt and change up and just find those points. Because it's definitely going to get harder and harder from here.
Yeah, I think they're going to near the point where it's not going to change hands as much now because it's getting so high.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
good luck to them both. I mean, it's awesome that they're both going at it. They're both not content. You know, they're going to keep raising the bar.
Yeah. James, when he had it, he was still pushing it higher.
He was. He was here still playing, like, the day after he got the score, which was very cool.
And he said he'll be back, which, huge shout-outs to James on that. Like, that's... Sometimes we see players, their score will get beat, and they'll just hands up in the air.
They'll get discouraged, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, is, I think, is a natural reaction.
For sure. For sure.
But I like that James has got... He's got some... I think he just wants a break, and then he'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's done that before.
Yeah.
He took a little time off, one of the first times Shiloh took it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think this story is over. I think it'll swap hands.
Yeah, for sure.
A few more times.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, congrats to both of those guys. They're both amazing and very cordial players.
They are.
It's
what I like to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So... that's basically all for scoring that I know of, unless there's any other hidden scores.
Not that I know of.
Okay. So we got upcoming events coming up. Just have a couple ones to remind people about. Just as a reminder, we switched the date for our Shmup event. It is now June 17th through 19th. That's when the Shmuppers from the System 11 forums will be here. And that whole week, we're going to be running a shmup event on the floor, which anyone can be in. Same with the System 11 guys. They're only going to be here for a few days, so the regulars might have a slight edge because they're going to be in town before the guys from out of town.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be running that event too.
Cool. Looking forward to that one.
Yep.
I wonder if we will introduce any new shmups.
I think that's a given.
Maybe. Well, it depends maybe. On if we have space. Room.
Yeah.
If we have space. A little update on the next expansion. Again, we are looking forward to moving our production offices to our new building. That will take the third building. All this space will become arcade.
And so is this going to be tournament area too, or just arcade?
We're trying to figure that out. We're trying to kind of stagger it a little bit because we're already... pushing capacity again. That happens when you
add 10 new games
when you
in
add
a day.
10 new games in a day.
Yeah.
And then Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. And gonna have to do something.
We got stuff on the way too that's big.
Yeah, we do. I reorganized the vaults recently, and man, there's some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of shmups.
There's stuff coming that I know about that I've kind of been working with with you behind the scenes that I can't say, but...
There's some stuff you don't even know about.
Okay.
That
good. I'll be surprised then.
It's going to be... I don't know what we're going to do. We want to make sure our tournament players that... we want to make sure we have space for events.
Like the weekly tournaments and all that too.
Definitely.
Our Smash crowd has been getting bigger and bigger, and I want to give Eddie a special shout out for continuing to grow that scene. And he uploads all the videos to YouTube. He does a really good job running that tournament, and it's growing and it's growing. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why we need to have this room. It's like
absolutely.
Events like that.
Yeah, I know. And we have so much going on here. There's so much effort that he has to put into every week just to get the place set up.
Mm-hmm.
Like our MKX scene is definitely a little quieter and smaller, so it's not as much room to push everything around. And But Eddie really does a fantastic job. And again, I was super impressed with his commentary.
Yeah.
Like, he has really just super honed and very good.
Yeah,
very
I think good. He knows what to look for. Like, he's there doing the streams every week, so
yeah,
that much is, you know, as a parent, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, great job. Great job. Thanks for all you do, Eddie. But yeah, we want to make sure that, again, we've been talking with all the MK guys. Like, we need an area for Shang Tsung's fight night. We need space for the T20. So definitely by the time we get into having all four buildings be arcade, we want to have a chunk of the space be dedicated. This is where our
events happen.
Events area.
So we can do a swap meet then?
Swap meets can happen whenever we want. I would love to do another Battle of the Arcades.
That'd be awesome.
I think the last one was just incredible.
I think people slept on Team GGA last time. And
I think that we were supposed to be beaten up.
Yeah.
And
almost won.
yeah. And that was so much fun. I think they the stream quality was excellent. I think everything that we did on that was really top drawer. But a lot of it came down to having a nice setup space.
Dedicated room just for that, yeah. Yeah, because back then we had those party rooms. And we just carved all that out for just Battle of the Arcades, so it worked out.
Well, we'll get back to it. It'll be good. But still no official date. We do have to have an official date soon for Shang Tsung's fight night. I still have a lot of the actors that we have to talk to, but I can't officially disclose what's going on, but this Shang Tsung's fight night is going to be...
going to be good?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And just as a reminder, the dates for T20, we got October 6th through the 9th. It's a four-day event. It's going to be starting at open on the 6th, and it's going to conclude, I believe, at 3 p.m. on the 9th.
Yes.
So pre-registration is not live yet. It's going to be on the website soon.
It's anytime. It's we got to do a little bit more artwork and
more prep work.
A little more prep work. Just
like Batman. Good prep. It's the key to everything.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Absolutely is. But T20, if you liked last year's, it's bigger and better. We learned a lot from the first one, and should be really good.
Cool. So, one thing that I think a couple of people have been asking for, and I don't know how much you want to get into this now, is our power rankings.
Yeah.
So, Arcade does have a built-in scoreboard with player ranking, and it's done by location, not by player. Players play at different locations, so it'd kind of be hard to do that.
Sure.
But I know for the players that are interested, if you want, I can make a separate post on this. Do you want to cover the whole thing now, or just... make a separate Facebook post and go over it?
So your call.
Okay. Well, let me just run down the top 15 then.
All right.
I will start... here, I got it. It's going to be 15th... oop, there you go. One more back. There you go. All right, 15th place. I want to give a special shout-out to our 15th place finisher, Steven Lucas. So Steven has been coming in when he gets a chance. He comes in every couple months and has been going for scores, and he's cracked the top 15, which is great to see. And I'll give a breakdown of how this leaderboard works, and I'll link it in the description of the video, too, so you can see where you rank if you're interested. If you're not, no worries. You know, not everyone's into the ranking thing, and if you're not, it's no big deal. It's fine. There's a couple players on here that even haven't been in a while, but they have some big token scores under their belt, so, you know, a lot of these players may or may not even realize that we're talking about them. David Hedge, I believe, is a pinball player. He has massive scores on two of our pinballs. I looked that up before. Ben Falls, of course, Ben Falls is a legend. Everyone knows him. Number 12, Brian Keita, who was our first Sultan of Sega, is number 12. Matt Walters is our number 11 player, the Don. Chris Teeter, runner-up to T20. He has a ton of good scores under his belt. And Killscreen and Donkey Kong Jr. here, I'm sure, helped him out because everyone has score on that game. And you are our number 10. You have a ton of scores here on a huge variety of things.
I'm number 9.
You're number 9? Oh, wait. Oh, you're number 9. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it would... yeah, number 9. Doc Mac. All right. Number 8, Massey's, who has been stepping it up lately. He's risen in the ranks lately. He's put in a lot of scores, some new house highs lately. Number 7.
The pro.
This should come as no surprise. I am surprised he's not higher, actually. Martin Bedard. He's come in maybe 2 or 3 times in the last few years, but the scores he puts up are so good, and they always stand for such a long time that he maintains his position on the scoreboard not even being here, which is incredible. He plays some pretty high-profile games. I know he's got some world records set here, like Strider is one of his world records, Ghouls and Ghosts is one of his world records he set here, and it's awesome that a player of that caliber comes out here, and I look forward to his next visit. I'm sure scores will fall. But there's a ton of scores that he has here, and it's awesome to see him up there. Number 6, Matt Rocco, our original Gamer of the Year, is number 6. He still has a lot of scores here as well. There's a lot of games where he has... I don't know if they're necessarily tournament games, but he has a huge variety of games, too.
Yeah. So
he's got a big variety of scores here. Peter Gores, our number 5. Not much needs to be said about Peter Gores. He's got a huge variety of games under his belt. Of course, he's a world record holder on many games as well, such as Solar Assault, Megaforce. Haunted Castle is another one of his big world records. So he's got a lot of great games under his belt. Number 4, Fred DeHart. He is our 2015 Gamer of the Year. Mm-hmm. 2014, I'm sorry. 2014 Gamer of the Year. Of course, a big shmupper. Everyone knows his Mars Matrix exploits.
Yes.
But he's got a huge variety, too. He's also a great Donkey Kong player, if you didn't know. That was one of his first things that he did when he was here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Jamie Tibbetts. Now we're getting to the top players here. Jamie Tibbetts, of course, has a bunch of shmup scores, but he's great at a bunch of things, too. I want to say he's got like almost 30 scores here. I can't see it. It's too far from me.
26.
Okay. Good enough. I am in second place. I think that the way this scoreboard is calculated, I think my rankings are like a little high, to be honest with you, among these players. I don't have as big a variety compared to some players, especially compared to our number one player, who is James White. So James has such a huge variety of games he is a master of, and those are games that a lot of people play that he's good at too.
Absolutely.
So I am. I think James is right where he should be on that ranking chart. He's number 1, and he's got, I want to say, 50 scores at this arcade.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. So, congrats to James. Congrats to everyone that's on the list. If you're not into the whole ranking thing, then no worries. If you want to see how to raise your rank, I'll make a post explaining it all. That's one thing that I'm sure we'll look at is the rankings. If you're interested, we'll look at it again. So just give us feedback on that, I guess.
Cool. Thanks for that. Again, congrats to everybody.
Yep.
Let's see. Is there anything else that we need to cover this week?
No, I mean, just last weekend was the Law Summit.
Yes, the Chicago Video Game Law Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely really, really fun event. Essentially, it was a panel. There were 5 panels that were held, and it basically covered all the news in video game law. We were asked to...
You're like a moderator, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was asked to moderate the Chicago Video Game Development History panel, which was the last one. So it was me, Brian Colin,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Lee,
cool.
Marty Goldberg, Josh Shui, and then at the last minute, Daniel Pacina showed up.
Nice.
So, definitely really fun. It was all videotaped, and man, they had some great answers. Was a really, really fun event.
You brought some games out there too, right?
Yeah, we brought Mortal Kombat and Rampage and Argus and Joust. So, handful of games. We were supposed to be bringing Dark Presence there, but we just had issues with coming back from MGC with it, so it wasn't ready for moving again just yet. But definitely a lot of fun.
Cool.
And looking forward to seeing that the video of that go live somewhere.
Is that an annual thing, or how often do they do that?
Yeah, I was there last year as well. I was on a panel for video game violence.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You're a violent guy.
Yeah. I was for it. They got my vote.
Cool.
But yeah, hopefully we can keep doing that one. That one was definitely a lot of fun. Very informative. The panel about all the changes in video game law over the last year was just excellent to hear. A lot of things about video game and privacy and just really great. I really can't recommend strongly enough to go check it out next year.
Okay, cool.
And hopefully,
is it open to the public?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll leave a link in the YouTube link so you can see where that all is going to happen.
Very cool.
Cool.
Well, I guess before we wrap it up, what are you going on to next? What are you going to be playing?
What am I playing? I am still playing Fighter's History Dynamite. And you know what I've been playing lately? I've been playing a little bit at home. I've been playing Contra. It's a big surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah. Now, you know what I was working on is the our settings here. We have a different track. We have the default settings here, and I've been trying to go after the settings that Twin Galaxies tracks for their tournament settings, which is now what we run here. So I've been playing at home to practice those settings, and I beat the score on the tournament settings finally. So
oh, very nice.
Yeah. So I was playing that. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe Polestar. We'll see.
Polestar?
Maybe. Not Pulsar. Polestar. Right? Am I thinking of the right one?
Polestar.
That's from up. Yeah. Okay.
What about? I know we've made it. Your out of the box challenge. Have you had any progress? I know you're playing Sinistar.
I was. I'm kind of enjoying Sinistar actually. I'm at like 135k on Sinistar. I want to get to like 150. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get James's house high. He's at like 260, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I want to hit like 150k in that game before I stop playing it. But it's a fun game. Like it's so chaotic, so fast. It's not my usual like cup of tea, but I'm enjoying it.
A lot of people miss that we even have it. Because it's in the back area.
The far back by the fire escape, yeah.
And it's the sit-down version. So, yeah.
I mean, I barely fit in the thing, so.
Well, it's definitely such a fun game.
It is.
I don't know. Maybe I'll play some of that, too, today.
Yeah, I would, if you can, try to get that third guy knocked off the card. That's me right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll leave you there. Cool. Anything else that we need to cover? Or?
No, just want to invite everyone to give us feedback, questions for next show. You know, please let us know what you want to hear. If you want to hear more on the rankings, if you don't like that, let us know. If you want us to rank you guys in a different way or whatever, just tell us.
Also, I should point out, I think we're going to do an impromptu, possibly early day here coming up pretty soon.
Early day?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Like an early bird gets the worm type of thing?
It's not going to be, I think, and we used to do this a lot more often back when we were working on stuff overnight, but we'd say like, hey, we're here, come on in and you'll get to play some stuff that's not even on the floor yet.
Oh, just kind of like whoever can make it
gets
a sneak peek type of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And as long as they're cool with being secretive on things, they can see some. There's some really cool games, some that you're very aware of.
Yes.
Are coming in. And I can't wait to share those with people, but there's not going to be much room on the arcade floor.
How's that going to work? Are you just going to post in productions? Hey, if you're local, come on out now? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I remember we were doing that once. I was rewiring the Street Fighter 4 cabinet.
Yeah.
And I made a post at like 6 in the morning one day. And it was just kind of like, whoever's here, whoever gets this, come on in.
Yeah.
And we had like 3 or 4 people show up.
Nice.
And I was like, they got to...
What, would they just help, like, see how you wired stuff? Or what did they do?
They just were playing some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was a few games we were putting out later that day. And okay. They just got a chance to play them early.
Cool.
But you know this will be stuff that'll be probably going to the vaults for a little
bit. For now, until we have space?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? You didn't say what you were playing, though.
I never know.
I saw you playing Sky Cursor.
I'm still playing Sky Cursor a little bit. I'm anxious for a new update on that.
Yeah.
I wish I got to spend a little bit more time with Strike Harbinger.
Yeah.
The
game moves so fast.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can play that. I'm susceptible to motion sickness, so that might give it to me. But it looks beautiful.
Well, I'm also probably going to spend a little bit more time on Samurai Showdown 6.
Yes, I saw you playing that earlier.
Yeah.
You're creeping up on Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm not happy about how I've had to switch characters.
Yeah, it's the whole kind of thing where you don't want to have to play a certain way, but now you're going to have to.
Yeah, it's...
what we'll do for scores.
Yeah, this one has... I don't know.
It's got Jeremiah written all over it?
It went from being like, to get the score that I had... you actually had to play the game, and now it's
just abuse the AI. Abuse the AI. Yeah.
I really, and that's one of those things, especially with fighting games. I don't know what the answer is if we should come up with, like, hey, these are the rules of, like, we know this will break the AI. Mm-hmm. Don't do this stuff.
That's so hard to police, though.
It is.
Just do a tournament. Just say whoever wins this tournament, they have their name on the card.
No, because it's always got to be score.
Yeah, I guess, but
no, like
when those games were big in the arcades, that's not what they tracked. You know, they tracked who was winning the tournaments. Like, I don't know who held Street Fighter II Champion Edition score, but I know Alex Valle was the champ.
Well, and part of the problem is like as the players change over, like there's like Chris Tang is in town.
He can't be here for next Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Right, right.
Next time someone wants to play that. So, yeah, that wouldn't work that way.
And here it's also score-driven. It's like, it's got to be score.
Yeah.
But, and I think it's one of the same things, where if the players all agree to, let's not do this.
As long as you can get everyone to buy in, and as long as it's stated in the track of the rules, then I'm all for it. But otherwise, it'd be really hard to track.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think maybe we'll explore that a little bit more. Maybe we'll do it with the fighting community just because it's a little bit smaller and a little more... Just because the players are all closer.
Right. Okay.
So, we'll see. Something to talk about on another podcast.
Okay.
But I guess we will wrap it up. Huge shout-outs to everybody. Looking forward to a great weekend. Maybe we'll do something cool this weekend.
Okay.
Some free donuts or something.
That's always good. I like munchkins.
Maybe we'll have a special Saturday box of donuts. We'll see. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. This is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade with Pete Hahn, our Gamer of the Year.
Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.